Coming to you from the ancestral territory of the Anishinaabe and the area inhabited by the Haudenosaunee and the Mississaugas of the Credit First Nation, this is Earth Matters. I'm your host, Lawson Hunter. Earth Matters examines the impacts we have on the environment and the natural world around us, seeking solutions, reporting on news and events, presenting positive alternatives, and highlighting the steps others are taking. We hope to inspire you to join the many others who are working to preserve and protect a healthy planet. Using organic and fair trade ingredients, Dr. Bronner's is a B Corporation that produces soaps and body care products throughout the world. The company also produces an inclusive and equitable philosophy that supports its employees, customers, and suppliers. Earth Matters spoke with Ryan Zinn, Regenerative Products Manager at Dr. Bronner's. Welcome to Earth Matters, Ryan, and we might as well just start at the beginning and talk about A, what Dr. Bronner's produces, and then go back a little bit to how it started, how everything started.
Yeah, thank you, Lawson. So Dr. Bronner's is the leading natural soap company in North America, and really began sort of its journey back in the 1960s. Really, the sort of short story is that out in the world during sort of the countercultural revolution and whatnot in North America, there was, you know, this opportunity to kind of create a vegan natural soap that's Castilian soap, which means that it's liquid and made from all natural ingredients. And that was really kind of gaining sort of traction back in the 60s and the 70s as people were looking to alternatives to kind of industrial and synthetic soaps. But really the longer history, which is quite fascinating, is about this man, Emanuel Bronner, who came from three generations of soap makers in Germany of a Jewish soap making family and came to the United States back in the 1930s, right as the rise of the Nazis were taking over Europe. And, you know, what he saw was something just really horrific, and it was really hoping to be able to get his family here to the United States. And, you know, they demurred a little bit and decided they wanted to stay in Germany. And then he came back to the U.S. And unfortunately, he lost a fair amount of his family in the Holocaust. So, you know, after World War II and the arms race and whatnot, he was really just really disappointed with, you know, the fate of humanity and wanted to sort of send out a very positive message out to the world. And so, you know, being from a family of soap makers, his really focus was getting out there and, you know, sort of spreading this word and literally getting on his soapbox. And what he found was, as he was traveling around the country, is that people would come for the soap, you know, this peppermint liquid soap, and then just take off and not listen to his message. And so what he did was, beginning in the 1960s and through the 70s, is really putting all of this, you know, kind of universal all-one notion that brings together the different beliefs and religions from around the world onto his packaging. And so that really launched the Dr. Bronner's brand, and as a way to put on sort of these universal truths onto a package that was actually out there for, you know, kind of commercial consumption. And over the years, Dr. Bronner's kind of grew from sort of this counterculture brand, particularly on the West Coast of the United States, to something that has become a little bit much more of a common household name. So when Dr. Bronner's passed away back in the 90s, two of his grandsons decided to take on the company, which at the time was just, you know, a couple of million-dollar company. And in the process, what they did was two things. One, really focus on transitioning Dr. Bronner's raw materials, which are mostly things like coconut oil that goes into the soaps. At the time, we were just buying from brokers, basically. We had no idea what was going on the ground and with the farmers. And so at least we wanted to make sure that the products that we were sourcing were actually organic certified. And so after a while of doing that, we just quite frankly weren't satisfied with sort of the quality and sort of the story behind it. And so Dr. Bronner's did one thing that was actually pretty unique, which is actually going and setting up projects all around the world to be able to source our raw materials, all of the ingredients that go into making our natural and organic soaps. So starting about 15 years ago, my colleagues and I began starting to build up all of these projects, working with literally thousands and thousands of small farmers in places like Sri Lanka, Ghana, India, and now in Latin America and Samoa, to be able to actually build the projects, work with farmers, and make sure that that impact, that positive social and environmental impact, is actually felt on the ground. So what we've done is actually something that's pretty unique. We work with about 10,000 small farmers all over the world. We want to ensure that there's, in fact, organic production going on, and that the vast majority of our raw materials and ingredients are all fair trade certified. So it's not enough to have an ecological product, but we want to make sure that there's a social and fair impact in the communities where we work as well. And so over the course of the last 15 years, after making this transition, Dr. Bronner's has kind of grown from a small, you know, maybe fringish, you know, product to something that is much more common, and, you know, with over, you know, $100 million in sales in the last couple of years. So we're really proud of the effort that's been gone into creating a product that both sort of matches our, you know, values, both ecologically and socially.
Okay, so it sounds like the soap making family business has grown and sort of grown with the times, the counterculture, as you say, in the 60s, and then as more and more people became aware of organic and fair trade ingredients, then Dr. Bronner's sort of rode that and or probably was one of the leading ones, leading companies to do that. It sort of touches on the six cosmic principles that Dr. Bronner's mentions on the website and your information. So can you run me through the six cosmic principles?
Yeah, sure. So, you know, Dr. Bronner, the original Dr. Bronner, Emanuel Bronner, you know, really was this kind of, you know, amazing thinker. And really what he wanted to do was sort of figure out a way that we could bring together all of humanity under one roof. And so, you know, what his perspective was is that, you know, we have more in common than we actually have, you know, differences. You know, all of these things that potentially are causes of conflict, in fact, are opportunities for us to kind of come together as humanity. And so out of his writings and thinkings over the years, he came up with these ideas are, you know, sort of like, how do we guide the work that we do, you know, both in terms of our relationship with the world at large, but also how do we do that from a business perspective, which is actually pretty unique. So over the time, we've distilled that down to six cosmic principles. And this is really kind of our guiding, you know, North Stars. How do we operate? And so the first one is really, you know, how do we do with this as a company? And that's really kind of work hard and grow. And that means that we basically are a mission driven company, and our commitment is 100% to being organic and being fair and treating our employees right. And so in that case of Dr. Bronner's, it's a pretty unique scenario in that Dr. Bronner's, for example, has an executive pay cap. So the highest earner at our company, our executives, are on a 1-to-5 pay scale ratio. So that means that they can't get a raise unless everybody else does, from all the way down to the lowest, you know, sort of range of workers. And they also do things like profit sharing and have probably one of the better, you know, kind of benefit packages out there in the private sector, and like in other countries and whatnot. And really that's kind of our jumping off point. The second one deals primarily with doing right by our customers. You know, our goal is to make sure that we can actually get organic and fair trade products that are accessible to everybody. And that we don't really mark them up and make them a premium product. We want to make sure that we can have organics for all. And that's one way we do this, by really keeping our, you know, kind of our margins in line. And we don't do huge markups, and we don't do anything like that to keep the accessibility aspect there. And so that's really it. And then, you know, number three, our employees, really goes back to our sort of first cosmic principle, is how we do. And so I mentioned a few things that we do in terms of, you know, the pay scale and whatnot. And, you know, as far as, you know, the private sector, you know, I really find it's a pretty unique company, in that we really treat everybody kind of like family, which is also pretty unique as well. And then number four deals primarily with being fair to our suppliers. And this is really the fair trade aspect that I was talking about before. You know, our goal, not only with the farmers that we work with all around the world, but everybody that works in the mills and the communities where we work, our real goal is to make sure that there is dignified and fair work for everybody. And this is really unique. So in Ghana, for example, where we have our palm oil project, not only do we work with over 600 small-scale farmers and their families, but we're also the largest employer in the district or the county. And what that allows us to do is to really have a positive impact that really, goes beyond just a fair and stable wage, but it makes sure that there's things like benefits and other social infrastructure in place that really kind of rebuild those communities in some cases. And then number five deals primarily with, treating the earth like our home. And this we do on a couple of different levels. Obviously, on the organic side of things, working on the ground with farmers, working, kind of regenerative organic practices, really farm ecologically. But we also do things like, we've installed, solar at our facilities, and we were one of the few companies to actually pioneer 100% post-consumer recycled plastic in all of our products. So our goal is to have as small of a footprint as possible. And I think, the company's commitment to doing that, I think, is really exemplary. And the last one, number six, deals with kind of our community at large. Dr. Bronner's, by being a family company, we have quite a bit of leverage as far as, those types of things that we can actually do with our profits. So the vast majority of our profits after taxes and reinvestment in the company itself all goes to philanthropic and good causes. So Dr. Bronner's, over the last couple of years, we give anywhere between $5 and $10 million out to good causes. And that's everything from organizations that work on promoting animal welfare, to working with the homeless population, to things like fair trade, nonprofits and NGOs, and also decriminalizing hemp here in the United States is another example. So really our goal is to not only make sure that our products are accessible and fair and ecological, but that the company itself serves for a larger and greater good, which is basically supporting, all of those good organizations, causes, and civil society organizations out there that are doing good work.
There are a couple of things that I came across on your website. One is called constructive capitalism. I want to explore that a little bit, but also let our listeners know that you're a B Corporation. So let's talk about a B Corporation, what it is briefly, because we have profiled it on the show, but also why Dr. Bronner's is a B Corporation.
Yeah, so I think the first one, constructive capitalism was a term coined by Emmanuel Bronner. And so, kind of his perspective and his values were, if we are to run a business, how do we do that for, the greater good? And so he saw, this idea of constructive capitalism as a way to, engage in commerce, but that is fair throughout. And so that was really kind of his definition of constructive capitalism. And that's something we've really tried to instill not only at our factory in San Diego, California, but pretty much with all of our suppliers and partners that we work with as well. And that's something that we continue to sort of promote, in terms of our funding and philanthropy. Here in the United States, we've been working over the last couple of years to raise the minimum wage, just because, quite frankly, the federal minimum wage does not, basically allow one to live kind of a dignified life. And so that was one of the ways that we see as an opportunity for commerce to actually have a very, very positive impact. And as far as B Corp, this movement that's been starting up over the last couple of years and really having a positive impact. And really B Corp stands for Benefit Corporation. And it allows for corporations to sort of structure all of their internal operations, procedures and bylaws that really have a focus primarily on having a larger, greater social and ecological benefit. And so B Corp has been, a great way for a larger movement of companies that are driven by ethics to really build out their impact in their communities and within sort of like, their operations. And so I see the sort of the B Corp movement as something that's really, really positive for a couple of reasons. One, it is a network that provides tools for companies that really want to do the right thing. And so, if you were to start a new company or you have a company, you may not know where to turn on how to find ecological packaging or how to structure your human resources department so that you're really being as respectful and just as possible within your own sort of operations itself. And then as a larger entity, I see a lot of potential here for businesses, whether it's through this notion of constructive capital or working together in coalition to really have a positive impact on the most sort of pressing issues that we are facing today, things like climate change. And so I see B Corps coming together both, you know, in North America, but really internationally, to have a very kind of common and unified voice in the business sector to be able to say, hey, look, we need really strong and progressive policies to address climate change. And here is where we sort of backstop that with our commitment in our own operations itself. So it really has a lot of potential both to help companies sort of on their pathway to becoming much more ecologically and socially just, but it also provides a voice for the business community to kind of come together and have a positive net impact.
Let's talk about some of the products that you have. We mentioned soap and Castile soap. What are the products? And also, I want to touch on where people might be able to pick up some of those products.
Yeah, so really at our heart, you know, we are a soap company. You know, Castile soap is basically a liquid soap. It's vegan. And what's great about it is by using all, you know, organic ingredients, we're able to have sort of like a minimum impact on the environment. So in the sense that we don't use detergents or other things that are actually pretty harmful for both, you know, humans and the environment itself. So really we focus primarily on liquid soap. We also have a bar soap. And our goal really is to be able to pull from all of these great projects around the world and really highlight those ingredients as a way to provide an everyday kind of service and sort of like, you know, body care and things like that. So we're primarily a soap company, but we also have a couple of other products, including like hand and lip balms, for example, and body lotion. And then the one thing that I am especially, you know, sort of proud of and excited about is, you know, because coconut oil is really our core main ingredient, what we found was that we could have a bigger impact by also getting into, you know, food grade coconut oil for, you know, because people like to increasingly use coconut oil in their cooking or even just using, you know, raw coconut oil as part of their sort of body care routine. We also have a food line that includes coconut oil. And so that allows us to continue to work with farmers, you know, even as the soap business grows, we can also do that with doing it with cooking coconut oil as well. So I think, you know, we're not a big company with lots of different types of products. We just focus really trying to do our best with what we have. But that being said, you know, we by focusing on both a soap, some cooking coconut oil, and some hand and body balms. And then lastly, you know, our other product that we have that I also feel pretty strongly about is our hand sanitizer. And what's great about that is that we source from organic and fair trade farmers cooperatives in South America for this organic ethyl alcohol. And then we blend with essential oils. So not only does it good at killing germs, but also smells well. It's good as well.
Is there any palm oil involved in that?
Yes, there is actually. So for our bar soap and a little bit in our liquid soap, we source palm oil from our own project that we own in West Africa, in Ghana. And then like places in Southeast Asia and Indonesia, where they are clear cutting, you know, native forests and peatlands to be able to grow huge, large monocultures of palm oil. What we've done is we've worked with small farmers that have historically grown palm oil on, you know, 2 to 3 hectare plots as part of their bigger sort of, you know, farm, where they also grow cocoa and subsistence crops. And what we've done is really focus on being able to demonstrate how you can actually grow palm oil correctly, justly, and ecologically. I think there's a both sort of a good and bad aspect to the news around palm oil. Certainly, you know, throughout Latin America and Southeast Asia, you know, palm oil has had a really devastating impact, but it's in large part the way that it's grown. Anytime you grow any crop, you know, regardless of what it is, palm oil or otherwise, as a monoculture, and you don't do it organically, the chances of you know, sort of ecological damage and social abuses are pretty quite high. So in our case, our approach is basically to work with small farmers. They've got a handful of acres on their land that they grow their oil palm, the plant that we use. And then we have actually a mill there. So we basically buy as much as we can of their palm oil to ensure that we get a fair price to the farmers. And then we do it in a way that is actually mimicking nature. So oil palm is native to West Africa. And so our goal is to really reintegrate oil palm with other crops like cocoa, for example, and food crops so that it's a much more comprehensive and holistic approach to growing palm oil or producing palm oil in a way that, you know, kind of both respects the local culture and the local environment, but as a way for us also to sort of utilize this amazing ingredient. You know, it's because it's got sort of a bad rap and rightly so. People are trying to shy away from palm oil, but I think, there's a lot of potential if you are to do it correctly. And the fact that you can actually produce more per hectare per acre using palm oil than you can with virtually any other crop. So long as you do it ecologically and socially just, I think it's a great, great crop that we love to use.
All right. Let's turn to the product hemp. Now there's been a bit of advocacy as far as getting hemp unrestricted in the U.S., using it in different applications. How did Dr. Bronner's get involved in the hemp scene?
Yeah, so, hemp has got a very interesting story here in the United States. Up until really the 1930s, it was used quite regularly on all sorts of applications, making things like, rope and paper. And, it's got literally a million and one applications that are pretty great. And so hemp got sort of brought into the anti-marijuana movement in the 1930s and 40s. And as a result, was basically banned here in the United States up until very recently. And so our goal was really to figure out a way to highlight this crop as one more tool in the toolbox for farmers. And up until very recently, the only place we could actually buy hemp oil was from Canada. So for us to be able to really highlight this as an opportunity, an option for farmers and for consumers as well, was to begin to reformulate our soaps to include a little bit of hemp oil to use as a way to highlight the cause. And so over the last 10 plus years, we've been supporting quite a bit of the lobbying effort here in Washington, D.C., to really be able to focus on legalizing hemp, not only for industrial uses, but also for foodstuffs. We had to import from Canada for quite some time. And as a result, just recently, hemp was legalized to grow here in the United States. And so that's in large part, I think to the vision of David and Mike Bronner to be able to support the legislative actions to be able to legalize hemp here in the U.S. And so I think there's a lot of great potential for hemp. I don't think it's like a silver bullet like anything else. You have to kind of figure out how to best to integrate it into your farm, into your operation. But that being said, I think there's a lot of great potential there. And then we're just happy to be able to contribute that to provide one more kind of tool for farmers and more options for, more healthy farm options for consumers.
Is Dr. Bronner's only known in the U.S. or do you go beyond the U.S. borders as far as sales?
Yeah, that's a great question. Dr. Bronner's, with our sort of historical family links to Germany, we began about 10 years ago or so to really focus on building out our international sales. And so over the course of the last 10 years, thanks in large part to Mike Bronner, we've really expanded our international sales and set actually standalone companies in other places, particularly in Europe. We work with a number of sales and brokers throughout Western Europe, Asia, and in Latin America. And so our goal is to figure out a way to how to, kind of get this message and this great product out to people and do it in a way that's kind of accessible and, shares our story and our commitment, more broadly.
I like the slogan soap making to peacemaking, and that sort of talks about the culture that Dr. Bronner's puts forward. Can you tell me a little bit about that?
Yeah, so really at the heart and core of our organization is how do we use kind of soap as a vehicle to really, as Dr. Bronner's would talk about himself, it's, we're all one. So how do we do that? And so our goal is to really be able to focus on supporting great causes that support, kind of peacemaking within individual communities, but more broadly speaking across the world. And so we do that through our fair trade products for sure. But it's also a lot within our philanthropy. And so quite a few of our, donor dollars go to great causes that work on all sorts of things. And I think probably one of the things I'm most proud and excited about is working with people that are coming out of the prison system and really finding opportunities for them to reintegrate into society in a way that's just and equitable. So I think sort of that reintegration work has been one of the things that has probably been, you know, one of the big highlights in the last couple of years. And so, you know, as we see, you know, things like, you know, we worked for many years on things like hemp legalization, and now we've made some great progress here in the United States on that. We're continuing to sort of refocus our efforts on things and some of the more pressing issues that are facing, you know, both our community here in California, the United States, and then the world at large.
And I want to jump back to the six principles for a second, just to sort of, you've got great slogans there. One, work hard, grow. Two, do right by customers. Three, treat employees like family. Four, be fair to suppliers. Five, treat the earth like home. And six, fund and fight for what's right. How can people find out a bit more about Dr. Bronner's beyond what we're talking today? Tell us about the website and just generally how they can find out more.
Yeah, absolutely. So I would recommend folks take a look at our website, drbronner.com. And there you can obviously see, you know, kind of our full product line, which I think is important. And of course, we're in the business to sell soap. But I think, you know, the other aspect there is that you can see not only all of the information about all of our fair trade projects all around the world, you can get kind of a sense of the communities where we're working with, but you can also get a sense of all the different causes that we support. And so that provides an opportunity to folks for to not just be consumers of a great product, but actually to really be able to kind of engage on all the different causes, which I think, you know, there's something there for, I would say, probably everyone, you know, to be honest with you. So having the opportunity to go and take a look at our website, either if they're interested in some of the work we do on fair trade projects, or whether that's something they just want to do on many of the different causes, you can basically find all of that information there or on our different social media channels.
All right. And final question, Ryan, where did you come from? How is it that you came to Dr. Bronner's? What prompted you to join this company? Give us a little, because what I try and do with this program is encourage people, encourage listeners to say, you know what, I could do something similar to that, or you don't need a PhD in environmentalism to join the cause. So where did you get your start and how did you join Dr. Bronner's?
Yeah, that's a good question. It's kind of a, you know, in Dr. Bronner's, we talk a lot about serendipity because you just oftentimes can't quite plan for stuff, you know. In fact, you just kind of take advantage of the weird way that the world works sometimes. And I think if you have, you know, not to get very, if you just put a positive intention out there, you end up finding great people. So I had actually been working for about 20 years in Latin America and in the U.S., primarily on organic agriculture and fair trade projects. And I had met David and Mike Bronner at some event, you know, probably about 15 plus years ago. And we had kind of kept in touch. And, you know, as their company began to grow, you know, really, they provided an opportunity to help for me to actually join the team and really work abroad on all of our projects. And so for me, it was a great opportunity to, you know, moving from like the NGO sector to really into the business world where, you know, there's a great company that's really putting, you know, it's money where its mouth is. And so that I thought was really unique and a great opportunity. And, you know, what I really like about Dr. Bronner's is that in addition to the work that we do on the ground, for example, in all these different countries, the company culture itself is really positive and encouraging in the sense that they really encourage us to go off and support great causes. So by working with Dr. Bronner's, I'm able to work with other fair trade organizations and organic farmers and producers and whatnot as part of our, you know, broader global mission, even if it doesn't necessarily turn into something that we can actually use for soap. So that being said, I've been working now with Dr. Bronner's for about 10 years, you know, all over the world, being able to work with some really great and amazing projects and communities as they look to sort of really implement and instill the values of like regenerative and fair organic practices, not only on their farms, but in their communities as well.
Sounds great. I've been speaking with Ryan Zinn, Regenerative Projects Manager with Dr. Bronner's. Ryan, thanks for joining us on Earth Matters.
Thank you so much, Lawson.
All right. Lawson Hunter here, host and producer of Earth Matters. I wanted to thank all the listeners of Earth Matters for your continuing support. As always, please feel free to send us your comments, suggestions, and thoughts on topics and people we should look at for future programs. I'd also like to encourage you to like, rate, and share Earth Matters with others so that our work can reach a larger audience. Thanks for listening.